Where are we? When are we? I'm telling you, we're talking all about Trace DK on this episode of the Westworld Recap here on AfterBuzz TV. Please give us a token of gratitude and listen to us next. Buzz is in.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I like your idea. You almost said token of attitude.
Yeah.
And I like that. Give us a token of attitude.
Yeah.
Kind of like Maeve did tonight.
Yeah. Way more than a token.
She's the slay beast. We did kind of slay a beast tonight on tonight's episode as well. So, hey.
A little bit. Right.
By the way, hi, everybody.
Hey.
Welcome to the AfterBuzz recap of Westworld. This is our immediate reaction. We just finished watching the episode about 10 minutes ago, and we're going to break it down with you. I'm JC Rubio. Find me all across the board at JC Rubio TV. And we have hosts tonight across the table. I'm thrown off without Joelle. I need my Joelle host.
Right,
Joelle
right.
is not here this week, so come back next week. Across the table.
Yeah, there we go. Hey, guys. My name's Carrie. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane, and we do have the chat open.
Right.
So it's going live. You guys are chatting it up, and if you have any questions or comments, feel free to chime in. If you're watching this not live, comment down below.
Yeah, and I'm Dave Child. You can tweet at me at MRDaveChild or find me at DaveChild.com. I've been loving all the tweets I've been getting, everyone. It's been great to hear a lot of theories coming in, a lot of discussions about maybe what this one line meant from this like specific episode. That's really cool. I love that.
Yeah, because once again, we got answers, which led us to more questions.
Yes.
But instead of breadcrumbs, I think we're getting bigger morsels now. We were saying that before coming in the studio.
Slices of bread now.
Yeah. So that really
soon we'll make a sandwich. A sandwich of answers.
Okay, but for me, tonight's episode, and of course we didn't shout out Neil in the background. He's our bicameral mind. What's going
on,
Neil?
Woo! Hey, guys. What's going on?
Nice. Now, where can the fans follow you? Because you're just as into the show as we are, Neil.
You guys can find me everywhere at the Neil Plumlee.
Excellent.
The very own.
All right.
The only one there.
Yeah.
All right. Tonight's episode, to me, we got tons of answers.
Right.
But I had trouble with one aspect in the timelines. Or what am I seeing? When we get to the Dolores scene especially, I'm like, where are we? When are we?
Yeah, this is when Dolores actually kind of, I think, had the voice of all the fans watching. Or at least the diehard fans, the ones that are like really trying to piece together this show. Mm-hmm. And by saying like, when are we? Because a lot of us feel that way. We don't know quite how the timelines are working out. I'm surprised. Sometimes I talk to someone who's like, I say, hey, you're watching Westworld? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, yeah. So what do you think, William or Man in Black? And they're like, what? I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, a lot of people think that William might be the Man in Black. Do you think that? And they're like, I haven't even considered that. And for me, it's just like so ingrained in my theory of Westworld about whether it is or isn't that it's weird to meet someone who's a casual fan of the show and hasn't even considered that as a possibility.
Aside from you being like the guy who destroyed Christmas,
right?
But, Carrie, I think you're going to expand on that because this show is for multiple viewers. I mean, for us, the diehards that research the lines, what they mean, and for the casual viewer that sees it once with what you just explained right now.
Or there's even things that we don't even take into account because I think it was tweeted at me and then I retweeted at you guys. Someone pointed out, like, what happened to Dolores' paintings that she does every day? And I'm like, I haven't even thought of that one. But I'm like, it's a good point if she's doing it so many times. And then there was there's a video you can see or a little GIF pretty much of one of the like tech guys flipping through all the paintings. And I'm like, that's so cool.
And that was actually one of the show creators actually answering that question by showing a clip that hasn't been seen on the show before. So it's a nice little like, oh, this is where all the photos are.
Yeah.
Right. And just a nice little cutscene.
You know, and it's funny you said about William being Man in Black, where it's almost on the nose. And last week, I even said that it seemed too on the nose. But I thought tonight, okay, this is where it's going to get heated because there was a name mentioned by the Man in Black, and it didn't match with who William mentioned would be his bride-to-be last week.
Really? Did he say the name of his bride?
Yes, he did.
His wife's name? What do you call it?
Yes, okay. Remember? Last week, William, when he was talking to Dolores in the train...
Yeah, no, he said that name, but what did Men in Black say?
He said Juliet.
Okay.
And this is, okay, the way
Man in Black's a Juliet?
No, the way they framed it, though, led us to believe it could be either the daughter, or more than likely, I thought, his wife, and it was Emily. So
okay.
It's different.
Okay, name. So wait, I'm a little confused here. So yeah. Who is Emily in Man in Black's life?
He was talking about his wife when his wife committed suicide, and right. At the funeral, his daughter spoke about the, you know, just the tight, you know, how shattered yeah. she was and whatnot.
Right.
But it flashed, I believe, to Teddy, and then when it came back to Man in Black, he said, "Emily." I think I even have the line.
Hmm. Did like Emily said?
Yes. Because
then that's his daughter. If it's Emily said,
it was
that...
about the atrocities committed in his life.
Right, because his okay.
Maybe the chat role can help us with this.
Yeah,
I
if
just
anyone
found that
if
peculiar.
Anyone picked up this if whatever
the name. Yeah.
Anyone picked up the name, because the one thing I saw from the Man in Black side of things was when he recognized, and I'm sure everyone else, a lot of other people recognize this, when he saw that one woman who was stranded by the who we first think is stranded by, what are they called, the ghost.
Ghost Nation,
but then finds out to be part of the Wyatt tribe. She is the same host that greets William back in like episode 2.
Correct.
Yep.
So, and that's the last time we saw her, except in the flashbacks Dolores has, where she sees people dancing in that little town mm-hmm. in this episode, and she's also there. And what the Man in Black says is, "Oh, you're still around. I thought they decommissioned you." Which means the Man in Black hasn't seen her for a very long time, which is a little strange if the person greeting people, one of the many people greeting people in the opening in the when they arrive to Westworld, is not still doing that. It mm-hmm. it made me feel like,
well, it's interesting they would change her position from greeter to being inside. Like, why bother?
That. Right. Well, they did that with Maeve, and you know,
yeah, but Maeve wasn't like a greeter and then inside.
Yeah, but it feels, you know.
I mean, they can. There's nothing to say they can't change
them. They probably,
yeah,
switch them around. And it's, it just, to me, it read as, okay, he's William. This was the first time where I was like, right. I think we could just say it now. Like, I'm getting.
You think they're going to wait till the last episode?
Oh, I hope
not. There's
only
two more. Just two, guys.
You know what I bet it is? I think they're going to wrap up William's storyline, and then we're going to find out. I think William's going to have, like, the end of...
Yeah.
So it could be at the end of this series. But, I mean, or he might not be William. What would be great is if the twist is he's someone else from the past. I would not like it if he's Logan, because I feel like that's kind of a...
But don't you think...
Bad guy to bad guy.
Like Jonah Nolan and Lisa Joy are leading us on that path just to switch it on us?
But they're
really good writers in that sense. You know, I mean...
Or could it be just some other option that we've not thought of at all?
True.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, there could be something absolutely. And you're like, wait, oh... Which I would almost find that more rewarding, because if everybody's so dead... I mean, there's those moments where, like, there were a couple things that happened and I was like, yes, I totally thought that ahead of time. And so you have that reward that, like, oh, I got it right, like your
right.
guess. But then sometimes it's nice when it's something you're like, oh, I didn't even think of that, or I didn't even expect it, and then that's like a refreshing.
Yeah.
Compared to just like, because then so many people, they're like, oh, if it's this, I'd hate that. So what if it's something they hadn't even considered?
For me, it just has to change the stakes. It just has to up the stakes a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Now, Carrie, anything you want to finish off with opening thoughts for the episode?
Somebody said in the chat, and then I wanted to say, for Elsie, no body, no proof.
Right. So that's
I don't necessarily think she's dead.
Okay.
That's another little bite that we get this episode.
Yeah.
We see, in case you blinked during this, when Bernard is being... We're kind of working backwards here. When Bernard was... about to get his mind wiped by Ford. He asks Ford, "Have I done this? Have you sent me to kill anyone else?"
Ford
says
no.
And then there's a flash in his mind of him strangling. I think we can say strangling at least Elsie, which is more than we've seen of Elsie, because last time we just saw an arm and she was taken away. Like I thought that maybe. She, in the previous episodes, she was maybe taken away and then like, all right, now that I have you safe, we'll do something like this. But this time we actually saw a struggle. So we don't have any body yet, but we saw that it was Bernard doing it. But do you think Ford was lying or not? Because I don't think he was. I don't think it was Ford that sent him after Elsie.
I don't think so either. I think even if she's struggling, it could not, it's maybe not like a long time, but like the surprise.
Right.
and then moves her somewhere else. Because we've had too many instances now of the host can lie, and then the with the Clementine, like the going off your programming, uh-huh. I felt that was foreshadowing for Bernard to go off programming.
But we also mm-hmm. know and that Maeve. That Clementine was that was made by the
I know, but like Maeve proved you could go off your right. programming.
Maeve did. Maeve
even
and Dolores
before
did.
They adjusted yes. her. Like when yeah. we see her like way back past. So I felt that was a way to show us that like Bernard could.
But she's being also manipulated by someone higher up as well.
Well, I mean, like, way back when, just her child, that desire for her child, I think, superseded right. everything, and then she was still focused. So I wonder if Bernard being focused on Teresa could, you know, go beyond what Ford is doing to
well,
him.
Bernard explained that himself, that memory leads to improvisation.
Yeah.
So
and
that's
they've talked
that...
about that, that, like, the so many things that can adjust with the hosts that it leaves... It opened to other possibilities.
Except it seems like he's going along with the program with Teresa. Everything that
so
happened
far,
with Teresa, it seemed like he
yeah.
definitely helped cover it up. He kept yeah. like he burned all the evidence
yes.
and he kept him in his mind. So I like the little wrinkle that Ford kept made him remember her. So he can help hide his path.
Sure.
So it can go through. And so there was a while where he did remember that he did this, and he was doing it so he could forget. That was his, like, goal by the end of it.
Kind of off topic, but Teresa's name. Anybody else notice that Ford's the only one who says Teresa, and everybody else says Teresa?
That's just Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
That's
I know, like... but I was just like, what? Is her name actually Teresa? But everyone's like, Teresa, and I'm like, oh.
He gets yeah. the Anthony Hopkins pass. But
yeah.
before we fully dive in, I actually want to just take a moment to remind our listeners and viewers that our show is free. And one of the many ways it can stay free is if you support our sponsors. And today our sponsor is HelloFresh. And let me tell you a little bit about them. They are the actual meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient. Each week, HelloFresh creates new delicious recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novices, like me, to someone, you could say, more seasoned home cooks short on time. Now, HelloFresh sources the freshest ingredients, measured to exact quantities needed so there's no food waste. Employ a full-time registered dietitian on staff who reviews each recipe to ensure it is nutritionally balanced and is all delivered to the doorstep of your home for free. Now, all we need is for you to go to HelloFresh.com. And actually, even before that, I think Neil's even had some experience with HelloFresh. Is that right, Neil?
That is right, JC.
Does it taste good? Does it taste good?
It's good, yeah. Honestly, like, I don't know anything about, like, advanced cooking or chefery. But
chefery.
I'm able to take a HelloFresh meal and make it, and it tastes amazing.
You know, because I actually, at home, my lovely other half, she's this incredible chef, so I can't even cook to save my life, but I definitely want to surprise her with something like this, so maybe actually this might be the best move.
Yeah, listen, people, you're probably not robots, right? You're probably not robots, you're probably not hosts, so why don't you eat some food?
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to do here, is show you a way to eat food.
Very well
the
said.
The food is good.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Food's good.
Yes.
And it proves that you're human, question mark?
No, but, and on top of that, being
they
human.
They do drink, though.
They do, which
they
makes
they
you wonder. There's probably a lot of robot poop out there. They probably force the robots to poop.
With that so very well said, uh-huh. Remember to go to HelloFresh.com and go to their promo page and type in Buzz, and you will receive $35 off your first week's order. So make sure to go to HelloFresh.com, go to the promo code, type Buzz, and start your savings today. All right, with that said, let's dive into this episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, Big Dave, what do you want to start with today? Should we start with Bernard? Or
yeah, let's start with Bernard, since we were talking about Bernard already, and we find out that he has memories of killing Teresa. They keep the memories so he can cover up the path. You see him covering up the path, and even finding like hairs in his pillow, mm-hmm. and getting rid of his love letters and everything. But there is a little wrinkle,
yes.
in this episode that we discovered, that his name's Stubbs, right?
Ashley Stubbs. Yes.
Yeah, Stubbs knows that they were in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
He picked up on it.
Mm-hmm.
He saw it. So he, but Bernard, like, does not, says, like, oh, we hardly knew each other, because by that point, his mind has been erased.
Correct.
At this point. So what? How do you think that's going to
I be hope affected? He might not touch upon it. Stubbs might not, because mm-hmm. it's one of those, okay, maybe Bernard really just wants to keep this private. But he had a sense of, like, okay, this is really weird. You're being weird,
right.
And you're hiding something. So he maybe later, if it comes up again, could, if there's any security footage that Bernard didn't get to, because we did see him deleting footage of him walking Teresa out at the end.
Yeah, now he just, like, deleted himself.
He deleted himself, but that's only the end, like, where when she went outside. So it's possible that Stubbs could find other evidence of sort that we might not know about and just be right. like, no, really, you guys were, like, a thing. You guys kept it under wraps, but we all knew. You know, kind of... It's a small company in a way of, like, the right. people we know all interact.
So you're saying Stubbs is not really going to go after it because it's way above him? Is
No. Just as in, like, a personal courtesy of, like, would you really harass someone about their private relationship?
I don't see it that way. I really don't.
He might pursue it just because it's kind of like an itch at the back of his brain of, like, mm-hmm.
And you can see that.
Yeah.
You can see that in yes. the scene. And that was the beauty of the scene, that not only what's happening, let's say, outside of the park, outside of Delos, like, everyone's convening to this maze. Now, yeah. there's a bunch of people coming. Now, Stubbs is trying to figure out what happened to Teresa and now perhaps even Elsie, because he didn't ask her about Elsie.
Yeah, he asked that question.
Right.
And he did not like Bernard's answer for that either.
Right. So
he's like, what are you talking about? Yeah. So I'm hoping Stubbs becomes more the sleuth and starts trying to figure out what's going on.
Right. And I think Stubbs is in position to maybe do that and get more suspicious.
Yes.
Because Hale did not believe Ford at all.
Oh,
I got
no.
the sense that Hale did not believe. But also, from what Ford said in the previous episode about how he has, like, a cat and mouse game that he plays with a corporation,
yeah,
I don't think it doesn't matter, because Hale's just going to keep trying to do whatever she can to get this information out of the park. And I think she was the original reason why there was, like...
transmitter?
I could be wrong, but, like, it's...
It could be.
But I felt like she was the transmitter and everything beaming up, and I think she knew that there was no reason for Teresa to be out there to actually do what, she had set up.
She didn't buy that at all. But I wondered how much she feared for her safety. I think she understood, like, Ford is a threat.
Yes.
That, like...
That was basically Ford just being like, I kill people.
Yeah.
This, I kill
people. And I think she totally was like, all right, good to know.
And now she has a new plan with Lee. And that was to, I guess, activate the original Peter Abernathy with 35 years of data and get him out of the park. Will she succeed? Will they succeed?
Well, I like her discussion with him. He's like, how am I going to get the body out? And she's like, you're a writer, figure it out.
Yeah.
Right. So...
yes, but no, because then we have the problem with Maeve that if they try to leave the premises, they'll explode.
Explosion.
So I don't know how he's going to get out, unless in totally destroying him, it removed that thing. Because they said, Maeve said it was somewhere in the brain, like deep down. So maybe when you do a complete wipe, that destroys.
Well, you just brought up something great, because, Charlotte has to know that they're spot, that they have an explosive in their C6, and so why would she do this anyway?
I wonder if in the complete shutdown, maybe that's not as active.
I don't think. I think it is active. I think it's something that they're going to have to work around. I think
they'll figure out
the same
else.
Way Maeve is trying to work around it. I think they're either going to have to remove it.
Yes.
What I'm wondering is, why don't they just chop off the head and get the head out of there?
That's a good point.
Like, why not?
If data's in the brain.
Yeah, if you upload it, it's like taking the hard drive out of a computer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'll still bring the...
what they'll do.
Yeah, it could end up being that. But I hope not. I hope he's walking around.
It's wonderfully morbid.
Yeah.
I like it.
You know, we slightly veered off because we were talking about Bernard and all his interactions with Ford today. And what I found most intriguing was Bernard's question of what is life? What's the difference between a human and a host?
Oh, he is such a sociopath. He is such a psychopath. It's so
Ford?
Like... Ford is like, I think what I'm loving about his character is we're finding out we're exploring the mentality of a psychopath in in different ways. I read like the Psychopath Test by John Ronson. It's really good, and where he goes around and interviews as many psychopaths as he can, whether mm-hmm. they're, and a lot of them are actually in big business, and a lot of them are running companies. It's not like the unsuccessful psychopaths are the ones that are caught and are in prison. The successful ones are the ones running companies and like at the top of stuff and actually have like a career going. Because they know, they recognize the emotion that people have and they can mimic it themselves and they can manipulate it enough. And that's exactly what Ford is talking about here. He's talking about how like all emotions and experiences are just the same loops and programming that all the hosts have too. So there's no real difference between the hosts and humans because it's all just who put the programming in, whether it was you program yourself to live this like circular life and to live life or he's the one to do it.
Yeah.
And that there was no point to consciousness and that's what drove Arnold insane.
Right. And well, except what it seemed to be was the big divide between Arnold and Ford was Arnold wanted to explore kind of how to tell his stories and manipulate emotions and create emotions and basically be powerful and like kind of lord over this land. Well, Arnold had a sense of guilt. He felt like he was creating life and that he was kind of destroying life. That's what I got a sense of what he was talking about, because he said that the guilt was what Arnold had.
Mm.
So that kind of separated him from Ford.
You know, and that even actually reinforces what the show creators even talked about Anthony Hopkins' character. They said he actually has a general hatred, contempt, distress, a distrust of the human species or human nature.
Right.
And they came out and said that this week, I believe, and I don't know if it was EW or something.
Yeah, so, that makes sense with the kind of psychopathic like just slant.
What you were saying.
Now, are you someone pointed out in the chat, are psychopath or sociopath?
Yeah, I forget the difference. I'm going to be honest here, but I think it's just sociopath. A thin line.
But yeah, that is true. Well, he does murderous things, so then I would say he crosses over into psychopath.
Yeah, psychopath maybe. and right? Sociopath are so similar that I don't think there's a giant difference, but I could be wrong there.
Yeah.
But so let's say psychopath.
And now before we bridge into Maeve, I thought it was really interesting as well with Ford, that what he really enjoys doing is wiping people's memories, their bad memories away. And you notice that with Maeve, she didn't want him wiped, and also Bernard as well. You know, you can see that slight hesitation.
Yeah. So, but we've learned with Maeve, it doesn't matter if you wipe it, it's still there.
Right. That's a big theme of this episode, especially. This episode was called the
Trace Decay.
Trace Decay. And that's in reference to a theory about memory, that there's a trace decay over time, and we start to lose a sense of memory, and our memories get a little foggy.
Well, that was like with Felix and Sylvester, that they're saying like how humans, when we remember things, they get fuzzy over time, and like, but for the host, it's perfect memory. You know,
a great movie to watch in reference to that. I watched it last night, Inside Out.
Right, because they lose the memories.
They lose their memories, and as we do too. But it's funny, you brought up Sylvester and Felix and Maeve and their whole interaction. I don't know if you guys caught that line where Maeve told Sylvester that he's only a 14.
Right. Yes. That was suspicious to me, gives? Too.
I thought she said when she was at 14.
No, I heard it the same way. I heard her referencing him.
So when he was
at
a 15...
And then she followed that.
So I thought she was saying, though, I was even a match for you when I was a 14.
No. I think she...
agree with Carrie.
Ah, 50-50.
I think that's how she said it. She said, even at a 14, you were no match for me.
Yeah, and referring to herself.
Okay. This
because
is what
she, she could handle them before, and now it's like,
I think that's the exact wording she did say.
Yes.
But I'm going to say that could go the either way, because she did say, even out of 14, you're no match to me. And I don't quite know who she's referring to there. And then she followed it up by, and I guess Felix has a bit more apathy.
Empathy
has a bit more empathy set, so he couldn't do this. So she kind of knew. I don't know if that means that. I don't think they're actually hosts.
All right, people in the chat and comments, was she talking about herself or was she talking about the guy?
Well, you let us know if you think that they're hosts or not. Because
yeah,
I don't think
Sylvester
that they're...
Felix. I don't think they are.
I kind of hope that they're not hosts because yeah. I hope we're getting away from... I don't want everyone to be a host. So, like, I think it's going to get too messy. Mm-hmm. And I like the idea that they're not hosts, but she was talking to them like they're the same as her.
Sure.
And I think that's what was important, is that it was kind of a...
Well, because from her perspective, she's looking at, like, you're not better than me, that we're the same.
Right.
And she's multiple times said how similar they are and similar interests.
Yeah.
Or she's referring to male hosts she's dealt with, to them as male humans, that your interests and drives are the same.
Dave?
Thing.
Right.
I hate to say it, I think we are being outvoted on this one. The chat roll is on fire, and they all agree with Carrie.
Oh, really? Yeah. That she was saying...
Saying well, it about herself. But here's the thing.
But the point is.
Yes, we understand. Yeah.
The writing, the fact that they left
it was
like
an
that,
interesting word choice and lack of words.
Yeah.
Because she could have said, like, when I was, but it wasn't.
Right,
so,
right.
Fair enough.
And who was surprised that she let Sylvester live? I thought he was a goner the second, but then I was like, how is she going to cover this up?
Yeah.
Oh, I was so happy when she sliced him, too. I was like, yes. And then I was kind of surprised, though, of like, oh, and then she's kind of like, all right, fine. Can you patch him up real quick? I was so glad, though, that, like, you didn't get something. Because even if they patched, like, just the up layer of skin, if she had gotten, like, a more severe artery or something, it wouldn't matter. You know, it could be like, well, too bad. Even if you got the top, he's bleeding internally.
And it would have been a shame because the actor playing Sylvester, today was his birthday. So if you're on Twitter,
happy birthday.
You send him a shout out. You know, glad
you survived.
You survived.
Yeah.
You survived. Yeah, I was surprised Felix let her live, to be honest. Like, I kind of felt like that was their way out if they wanted it. I kind of was, I'm not saying
I feel like
I don't want to see her go. But from the standpoint of those characters, I don't know why they're following her lead so much. Unless they're also hosts. But
I think he's like a weird little puppy dog that's just like attached to her, slash fascinated, and just wants to see where this is going to go.
But remember, let's go back even before his interaction with Maeve when he was trying to bring back the bird.
Yeah, I think this is ultimately what he wants of, like, yeah, he has a good heart, and it's also just he wants to see what he can do.
Yeah, and he kind of identifies a lot with the hosts as well.
Yeah.
He sees them as equals, I feel.
Mm-hmm. You know, as if the where are we, when are we wasn't more confusing enough, let's talk about Dolores.
Right.
And, I mean, Dolores and William coming across the Confederados and...
Yeah.
What happened in that scene where she ends up seeing herself in the lake, I guess, dead, and then everyone gone?
The river,
In the river, and then flashing back and everyone back. What is going on here?
Well, this is something this is something I wanted to bring up before, too, when we were talking about memories.
Yes.
Because it's very important that they bring up that to the hosts, memories aren't degraded. They don't feel like something lesser than.
It's like,
it feels like when they have a memory... Which is why they're designed to just be when they're sleeping so that they think they're dreams. But when they have a memory, it feels like they're there. It feels like a virtual reality there.
It's almost like an extreme deja vu then.
I think it's even more so. I think it's like if suddenly – it's like if you had an actual flashback. If your flashback was just like flashbacks are in TV shows where you see everything like it was and you're doing everything like you did before.
Or just like super hyped up daydream of, you know, even just regular people can zone out and feel like lose touch with their current reality.
Right.
Wouldn't
and
you
so
say
hers
it's more?
Is just, no, yeah, hers
it's
is
more.
Way more.
Yeah.
But I mean, like on a basic level, we can understand what that's like of just like you've had your moment where you're somewhere else, and then like, oh wait, what? Where am
but
I?
This is yeah. This
but
is
she
like
feels
a
like
tangible.
She's losing her sanity.
Yeah, that's why it feels
well,
like
she
it's
never
losing
touches
insane.
Any of it. But yeah,
well, except you see that with Maeve when Maeve slices the throat.
Yes,
and
that was
stabs,
like a muscle memory thing.
Yeah, and stabs Clementine because she's in the memory, so she's reenacting the memory.
Yes,
absolutely.
And,
but it was weird that the way they edited it was the Men in Black talking about it, and then she did it. And then I almost felt like he had power over her. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, no, that's just how they're editing.
You
the
don't
scene
even
together.
Know if they're in the same timeline.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. But it was interesting to edit them that way because then it was, a, you know, just like a wait a minute.
Well, I think we're also finding that Maeve has kind of an Achilles heel right now, where she's gaining these godlike Neo powers where she's able to control other hosts. But she's also the price of that. And the same thing's happening with Dolores, is that their memories and flashes are coming back, and they can't quite tell the difference between what's a memory and what's happening in the present.
Now, is Dolores the accident that happened 35 years ago?
Yes. Everything seems to lead us to believe that.
I mean, well, it was one of those, like, there could have been something else as well, but the big flashback she had where she was going to shoot herself, I was like, oh, okay, so she's the... But again, like this show, so many times they show you things, but not necessarily 100% this is it. So, yes, we think, like, that was the meltdown.
Well, I think what that town was, the dancey town.
Yeah.
The dance town 5,000.
I felt like it was like learning town. Like,
that's what I think. I think that was Westworld 1.0.
Yeah.
I think that was like the very first week of Westworld or the very first thing. So I don't know if that, I don't think that's the big disaster.
Okay.
Because I don't think it was that big. I think it was, I think Westworld was just a town.
But everyone got killed and she was about to kill herself.
And even Elazo's daughter asked her if you found everything. What you were looking for.
That was interesting, too, to have her come back.
She came, wait, say that again?
Elazo's daughter came up in that flashback to ask her...
Yes.
Did you find what you were looking for?
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. And that gets a little confusing because that was... She was having a flashback to that town.
But that felt like an active
thing. Yeah, and that felt like almost a your hallucination talking to you. And we also see that when we flash back to present or William time... When we flash back to William time, we see that they're in front of that black church that Ford was at in the previous episode. And I think we're getting a sense of, if William time is happening at a different time point, which I'm going to say it is right now.
Okay.
What Ford is doing is digging up an old town. This is what we found out this episode, is that he's digging up an old town that was from an earlier version of Westworld.
Okay.
And I think that town is Dancetown 5000. I think that's...
Someone said they put in the chat is Alpha Town.
Alpha Town. Okay. Yeah. Alpha Town's much better. I like Dancetown, but okay.
Yes.
Alpha Dancetown.
But the thing is, even though if Ford is doing that, how and why is she hearing Arnold say the find me? And she felt that that was the place Arnold was leading.
Because
her
that's happening in Williamtown. That's part of the maze for in William time.
Okay.
I think that's. This is my guess. I think William gets a sense of the maze, sees a little bit of the maze. And that's how he and then he later becomes Man in Black.
Okay.
This is what I'm going with, but this is what I'm pitching, is that William, he doesn't quite see the maze yet, but he's about to see the maze in one of the important points of the maze is that town, is Alpha Town.
Sure.
And I think that's what's going to happen in their storyline later, but it hasn't happened yet.
You know, I'm going to have to re-watch this recap just to understand all these timelines. Good Lord.
Yeah, it's getting confusing. It's like, I'm glad someone's just... I think they're heading towards the direction of explaining the timelines. Because I think that's why she was like, I don't know when I am. I think we're going to find out more about that.
Here's one thing about the show. It's not really... A lot of shows will give you gotcha moments, and this show will give you one or two, but it's done... Deftly, it is. It validates the reason why everything happens. So I believe we're going to find out to the T, because they're not going to string us along, because you're going to lose viewers. You know, you can only do it so long, but they've done it in such an engrossing way that all the answers are going to come. We've got two episodes left, and that's going to lead us to the big, to the actual Westworld true arc. Like I said last week, this is just the setup. All of this is the setup.
So do we think the second to the last episode will reveal everything or most of everything, and then the final one will be the wrap up, or they'll like do like half and half, like half of the second to last will have big chunk of reveal and the final episode will have the last bit, and then there'll be a little bit of wrap up.
I think it's going to be a lot like we've been seeing, where it hasn't felt like there was ebbs and flows. It's unlike Game of Thrones, where Game of Thrones seems to have one big episode and then an episode kind of explaining what happened and where each of the characters is at, and now we're on the same page, and then another big episode, and then the penultimate episode, and then a wrap-up episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the show's like that. We don't know because we haven't seen a whole series yet, but I feel like it's just going to be more of... I think the next episode's going to feel a lot like this episode and the previous episode, where there's going to be answers, and there's going to be... But they're not going to answer everything. And I'm curious to see how much they answer by the end of the series. I hope they answer the William Man in Black question. That's my biggest thing.
Speaking of Man in Black and William, we find out his origin? Question mark?
Question mark? Oh, my God.
Except for one thing. No name.
No name. All he needed to do was say, and my name was William. And then we'll be like, yeah, okay. Or, and my name was
You know what? Okay. All the other thoughts... He could have had a name change. And then the big thing is everyone in the chats and the comments, like, he had a mole and blah, blah. He could have had plastic surgery stuff done.
Also, sometimes
this is a world where you could have done stuff and changed it. No, no. They're saying that William has it and Men in Black does not. So, had it removed. Guys, he could have had plastic surgery and adjusted stuff on his face.
Sure.
And then name change, he could have changed his name.
They're just hiding his name for a reason.
They're like dangling like all the info in front of us, like, do you want to know?
There's a reason he's Man in Black and we don't know his name yet. I mean, once we find out his name, it could not be because he's William.
Yeah.
It probably is because he's William. But if it's not because it's William, it means something else. I want to know his name.
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. If you think that, let's entertain that he is William. Man in Black is William.
Okay.
Do you think it would be worth it for us to go through all of this and be already so clued in? We've been saying it since the last episode. It's so on the nose that William is Man in Black. And for it to be... I'm the Man in Black. They're going to find a way, if it is William, to explain it in such a way where it's a payoff that we're satisfied with.
Yes.
Or
I think they will.
It's got to come from somewhere else. Something we are overlooking, and we'll have to rewatch the whole series, and then it'll all make sense.
That'll totally be great. Out of left field, or it will be a really good explanation.
But we also know they love hints. I mean, we can look, there's... a video right now kind of explaining all the hints that they've laid down for Bernard's reveal and how he was and how there's different ways that Ford said something in like episode 1 or 2. Mm-hmm. I think it's 2 where he says, I know how your mind works. And at one point when he's in bed talking to Teresa, he's explaining why they talk is so that they can figure out how to interact with humans. They could practice interacting with humans. And Teresa turns to Bernard and says, is that what you're doing with me? Are you practicing how to be human? Mm-hmm. And he's like, what? No. No, not quite like that. But like along that lines. So it's, you know, they love hints and they put so many hints down for the Man in Black being William that it's going to be, if he's something else, I hope he's something else. That would be amazing. But it'll be a weird reveal. Like, you know, my name is Stubbs.
And the beauty... and the
bah, bah, bah.
Mic drop.
That would be the left field one. I go, wait, what?
My name used to be Elsie.
Don't,
what?
Don't get me started because, you know, episode 3, Stubbs was saying that it's part of his narrative when he's walking with Elsie about the stray. It's my backstory. So everything's connected. See, now we're shooting in the dark. But let's finish up with the scene with Men in Black. And simultaneously, it's going on with Maeve, where she's recalling everything that happened with her daughter and Men in Black coming in, stabbing her, shooting... Well, we assume, shooting her daughter. And
Yeah, I do like how we find out... That whole daughter-Maeve interaction was a big turning point for both of those characters.
Yes.
I'm glad that's important because I thought it was just he's been wrecking havoc all over these 30 years.
Yeah, no, it was a good explanation for him and then for her that she was able to survive it.
Right.
And then she lands in the center of the maze.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting. That was his first hint at the maze.
Yeah. I actually have a theory about that.
Yes.
By Cameron O'Neill.
It was... so interesting that he said those words while she was falling into the center of the maze. And what he said was, I mean, not to quote him, he said something along the lines of that he saw her become human for a second.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she landed in the center of the maze.
Mm-hmm.
So what if the center of the maze is where hosts go to become human?
Yeah, and sentience is kind of there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was something that we had touched on a while ago, too, that the Men in Black wanted to get to the center of the maze to make the host human so they could kill him, which he confirmed in this episode. Right. I was like, yes!
Yeah,
that was one
nice.
Of my happy, like, that's that was, what I thought.
Yeah, I had a happy, like, yes. That was my theory. Yes. I remember telling everyone that he wanted to die.
We were talking about that. We're like, this is because he wanted to die. And, like, people in the chat were like, man. We're like, yes, and now he said it.
Yeah. So is that why you keep hearing him say it over and over, host will tell Man in Black that it's not for you?
Well, this is, yeah, that might be true. Maybe. Because I think you got to think of what Arnold's motives are for creating the maze and creating this path, and what Man in Black's motives are. And I think Man in Black wants to get to the center of the maze so he can die.
Yeah.
So he can have like a warrior Viking death.
Yes.
Arnold, I think, wanted to give the keys.
I was going to say, let's clarify, not to die, have a fight that he could die.
Yeah, that he could die, but I think he also
higher
wants to
stakes.
Die.
Yes.
I think he also, like, okay. I think he wants to fight until he's dead because that's the ultimate game. And also his we find out his wife killed herself.
We're not saying he's just a suicide, though. It's just that he wants the opportunity.
I think it's like a Viking suicide is what it is.
Called it since like episode 2 or 3. I remember you saying that, and we thought you were crazy for that, but I think it's...
said it too.
Okay,
think he wanted to die. Like, we're a little different on. I don't think he's going there to die. I think he wants the opportunity, and he wants to play the real game where you could.
You're
he wants
spot higher on. Stake. You're spot on because he
doesn't
said,
want the reset button on the video game.
He said because he's so powerful. Remember, he's a god of many worlds. He's untouchable
now.
Yeah, he wants consequences for his choices.
Yeah, but what I was also going to say is that Arnold. I think he created the maze for a Willy Wonka reason.
Okay.
I think I don't know that for this for sure, but he wants to pass the keys or give all the information that the corporation is trying to take. Something, whatever the corporation wants, that intellectual property maybe or whatever that is, I think Arnold wants to give it to someone who deserves it and loves the place. But... Ford is also someone that has it too. And so he wants to kind of give it to someone who isn't Ford and can kind of give the keys of the kingdom off to someone else.
Sure.
I think that's maybe a theory.
It's a good theory.
Before we wrap up, I wanted to ask you guys a question. If anyone, chat roll, Neil, anyone, what exactly did Man in Black say? Did he say he owned the place?
No, he doesn't own the place.
Okay.
I didn't get a sense.
Okay. Okay. I was just busy taking my notes and I was like, did he say that too?
I think he said, I'm the good guy. I'm like,
yeah, he did say that. Yes.
I think he's like Bill Gates outside of the world. I think he's. I think he just enhanced that feeling that he's somewhat. He's a philanthropist.
Yes.
He's a millionaire, billionaire of some sort, and I think he's just.
So there's no connection to he being the god of many worlds. Like maybe is that like
do you
an
think
Easter
he's
egg?
Arnold?
No. Is it an Easter egg to maybe Roman world, medieval world? Oh. Even though they said they wouldn't do it, but the fact that he says that. Remember, every line has a purpose. I'm a god of many worlds.
I think he meant he's
this is
the
general
best.
Life.
Yeah, and he's like the guy that's been playing in Westworld and knows it really well. He's the high score player of Westworld, and also he's the high score player of life because he's
doing well and they say he like cured.
Yeah, he basically cured cancer or saved that one guy's sister.
So he's
We also have to talk a little bit about the Minotaur. I want to make sure we mention the Minotaur of this episode because when searching for the maze, they come upon what seems like the mountain, Franken Mountain from Game of Thrones.
Okay, yeah.
And he's got horns on him, and a lot of them have horns, and I think they represent the Minotaur in the labyrinth myth of who is just stuck in a labyrinth the entire time, and I think they guard the maze. So I think that's why all of Wyatt's men have horns, because they're basically the Minotaurs guarding the maze.
I had not thought of it that way, but that totally makes sense.
You know, and I actually had a last fan question before we wrap, and this is from MC858. The bigger question is, how is all this all-knowing company not seeing their employees hacking hosts and killing each other? How is this? How are we getting away with this?
We've talked about that. How there's so much going on. And it's like, don't they know?
It's a big.
They
part.
Seem to know everything and nothing at the same time.
Yeah,
yeah. So, but there's someone pulling the strings. Besides, is it Ford? Ford seeing all of this? He knows all of this. He has eyes and ears everywhere.
Well, and then Stubbs' security team then sucks at their job then if all this stuff is going on and they have no idea.
Well, even Stubbs has seen stuff, too.
Yeah.
So,
but, a lot of this... he doesn't know where else he is, and he maybe should have known.
Well, right. Last week, when he was talking with Teresa and she tried to call out at those last moments of her life, he said that he did design the whole park.
So he's seen everything. So this
I think it all works for him.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. But also, and I think Ford is hiding what he wants to hide.
Yes.
But also, a lot of the stuff that's happening is still happening around the corners of the park. Because I think they're really focused on, you know, they're focused on the guests and they're focused on who's actually in the park to make sure there's nothing going on. They're not noticing Maeve talking to these two guys.
Yeah.
Like, behind the scenes.
Clearly, that's one that we've all talked about. Like, yeah. What?
Or, because that is surprising, but I guess they also know a way to, like, the blind spots, and I think that's something. Elsie, I'm not too sure about, because we got to find out what happened with her body. But I was also happy to see, or not happy, but Teresa was just killed, and we thought maybe she was going to be replaced by a host.
Right.
That didn't happen, and they came up with an explanation.
Yes.
And it was just a framing thing, and it was... That was interesting. That was like... it brought up the stakes for everything, rather than just try and cover it up and replace it with a host. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of answers, like we said, from the onset. So let's move on to some predictions, and we didn't even get to talk about Logan capturing Dolores and William. I mean, come on, now, what are his plans? What revenge, of course. Yes.
I'm so sorry. I was just someone in the chat of like, and we talked about her. What, the lady who stabbed Teddy and with the arrow, and then who was dressed as the greeter for William.
Yes.
We talked about her. Yeah.
We did talk about that.
That is Elon Musk. Wife.
Yeah, and I was saying how I think if Elon Musk, if anyone was going to be married to a robot host, I think it would be Elon Musk.
Yes, they've been married twice. Actually, they're about to divorce again. So there's a little celebrity tidbit there for you. So predictions, and get out of here. Even though we've kind of just
we've been doing predictions.
All predictions. Yeah.
All right. So
final thoughts. How's that?
Final thoughts. All I know is that next week we see more of Dolores and William being captured by the Confederados, and Bernard is asking Maeve why she attacked Clementine, and she says this isn't our first rodeo, Bernard. This is not our first time. So any predictions what we might see these last two?
Other reveal too, because there was the shot of the cowboy silhouette in the door frame where you don't know who it is, so I'm like, I feel that would be an interaction that hasn't happened yet, either like two timelines or characters will cross that haven't yet, or we'll get reveal of other people of we don't know about. Wyatt maybe.
We
I don't think
met
Arnold,
Wyatt yet.
But Wyatt, because it was very interesting little silhouette of like, oh, this feels like a reveal.
They made it seem like it was Wyatt because that was on the VO over it, but I think it even
not
looked like it could have been like Teddy.
Well, it could have been anybody.
Yeah, little red hair.
Yeah.
I hope there'll be some character path lines that cross that haven't yet.
I did notice something that I'm curious to see if we keep seeing, because Derek Scott tweeted at me a specific line that happened in episode one where Ford asked Bernard, hey, when he's like playing with the second robot ever created, he asked Bernard, hey, you weren't with us during that time, were you? And he was like, oh, that was a little before my time. And also, there's another scene where Ford asked Bernard, when did you show up? Or something like kind of questioning, were you around during that time? And he was like, no, I showed up at this time. Which makes me wonder why he's asking Bernard all these questions when it's just like the two of them. So I'm going along with the theory of maybe Bernard is that Arnold replicant, and he's seeing if Arnold will appear in Bernard.
I don't want to shoot that theory down, but I was saying, couldn't that just be Ford doing a Turing test on him?
Just testing. That could also be the case, too.
Yeah.
But there's also a number of the Bernard theory that we haven't answered yet.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let us know your theories, guys. We got to wrap up. So, Carrie, where can they find you?
Yes, you guys can find me online at Carrie Dealing. That's KARIDLANE.
And what other shows are you doing? Anything else?
Yes, I have Van Helsing. On Mondays is Timeless and Box Office Breakdown, where we talk about what movies came out over the weekend. Thursdays is Wynonna Earp, and just started doing Salem. But next week is Thanksgiving, so we're having that off.
Nice.
And I'm Dave Child. You can find me at Mr. Dave Child. And next week, I do Legends of Tomorrow. And not this week because it's Thanksgiving, but next week is the big crossover in CW where all the superhero shows are crossing over with one another. Nice. So I'll be on one of the other shows, not quite sure when, but I'll also be at Legends of Tomorrow on that Thursday. So watch that.
And Neil, for your awesome input, where can the fans follow you?
They can find me everywhere at The Neil Plumley.
Very nice. And a quick shout out to all the fans. Thank you for tuning in live with us, letting us know. Be part of the chat role. And follow me at JC Rubio TV. And also, if you're into paleo cooking, follow me on Instagram at Paleo Goddess, where my lovely half and I create paleo recipes every week for you. Check them out on Instagram. So for Dave, Neil, Carrie, I'm JC. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.